So we're going through this sermon series called Faith at Work. It's a fascinating idea to look at faith and work, two areas that can too easily be separated categories in our lives, but obviously go together, and they impact each other, even if we pretend that they don't. There's still some connection that's helpful for us to think about. And I'm honored that the church asked me to preach this specific sermon in the series. It's great to be part of it, along with some other wonderful men of God sharing the word with you. As I think about work as service, I think about a lot of things connected to work. What do we do? Why do we do it? Questions like that. And there's a model that I found that helps us to see this. A guy named Steve Chittenden put this on LinkedIn. I don't know if he made this model or if he found it somewhere else, but I saw this and thought it was helpful, and that was, I think, even before I found out that I was going to be speaking this specific Sunday on this specific topic. But he has this model that lays out some different characteristics of work. And if you want to find your purpose in life, your niche, what you're really fired up about and can do well, and I mean, this is what you were made for, well, that's the box in the middle. And you think about what you enjoy doing, what you really love doing, and you think about what you're good at. You think about what the world needs, and you think about what you can get paid for, and where all of those overlap is your purpose. And he also looks at the overlapping of each pair of circles there. So you have passion, mission, profession, vocation. I'll let you think through all of that on your own. But I think it's helpful to consider that intersection of what we love, what we're good at, what we get paid for, what the world needs. That's helpful. Of course, sometimes maybe one of those won't be absolutely necessary. Like I have a passion for preaching. I think I'm fairly decent at it. I'm better at it now than I was at one time, although hopefully I will get better. The world definitely needs it, and I get paid for it sometimes. In fact, in a few weeks, I will start getting paid for it full-time again, and we're very sad that we will be leaving this congregation, but it's a good opportunity for me to do some good work and let God work through me in some good ways. But getting paid for it isn't necessarily the most important part. In fact, there have been times that preaching has been the most enjoyable when I don't get paid for it. I love preaching here. And I like the fact that I don't get paid for it. I bet you do. But, you know, it frees us up. It lets me relax in a little bit, maybe be a little more laid back. I don't have to perform for you. I don't have to meet all your expectations or whatever. In fact, if those feedback forms show that my sermon wasn't inspiring or wasn't practical or whatever, well, you know, you don't fire me, right? So this model can be helpful, but every model has its weaknesses. I said that my passion has been preaching. It has been for a long time. And it started way back when I was a kid, and I'm not sure what first drew me into it, but early on, whenever people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say a doctor or a preacher. Well, once I stopped saying that I was going to be a superhero, but that didn't last very long. Soon I got fairly realistic. I said I was going to be a doctor or a preacher. Tried my hands at emergency medicine for a little bit several years ago, and got some preaching experience, and preaching was the way I went. I had some good mentors along the way. When I was in high school, a There was a shepherd who was preaching for a little church. He was a shepherd in our congregation. He would teach a Bible class in our congregation and then drive about 20 minutes to a different church and preach for them. And he started taking me with him. And at first I was just going and watching him and listening. And then in December 1994, when I was 16 years old, he let me preach my first sermon. And that's how I got into preaching. And other preachers along the way kind of took me under their wings and nurtured this passion that God had given me. And when I was a young adult, that continued. And then I got to do some other kinds of ministry. Did some mission work. I did some campus ministry along the way. I was still preaching, and that passion was still in me. And I moved to Memphis to preach full-time with the church and continue my education part-time. And a few semesters ago, I transitioned to full-time study and doing some ministry too, but not full-time, and ended up here. And you have let me preach a few times, and I've really enjoyed that. So a lot of people, including you, have been part of this passion that God has been building in me. And so this is what I'm made for. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it yet, but this is what I'm supposed to be doing, whether I get paid for it or not. And that's valuable in the kingdom. It's important work. It's an important part of the work of the church. But what if your role in the kingdom isn't up here? What if your calling isn't in the spotlight? What if your gift isn't speaking or leading in some way? What if your calling, your gift, your function is more in the background, out of the spotlight? We can't all be up here preaching right now, can we? That'd be kind of chaos. But you know, the Bible speaks to that concern. First Corinthians chapter 12, same author, different book. First Corinthians chapter 12 paints a picture of the church as the body of Christ. It's a metaphor that appears in some other places too. The church is Christ's body. Now, what does a body do? Yes, a body works, a body acts, a body does things. My body does whatever it is that I do. Whatever I do it with my body. I do it through my body. My body is what actually does it. Christ's body does what Christ does in the world. So you hear the images of the hands and feet. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. Of course, we're more than that. We're the hands, we're the feet, we're the elbows, we're the knees, we're the hips, the pancreas. Yeah. And all those parts are important, even the appendix, which does apparently nothing. All the body parts are important. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, right? I mean, one body part can't say to another body part, I don't need you. Because we all need each other. And you notice that none of us is the head. So just because I'm up here preaching, I'm not the head. Just because Barry is senior minister, he's not the head. Just because Lytle is a shepherd, he's not the head. Who's the head? Jesus, yeah. Christ is the head. And all of us are important with all of our different roles, all of our different functions. Whatever God has called you to, that's important, and the church needs it. There's something else we need to think about, and that's the fact that the work of God's kingdom extends beyond what we typically think of when we hear the word church. It's more than the Sunday morning assembly. It's more than whatever organized activities we have. If we had a church building, it would be more than that. It's beyond the walls, beyond the official times. The kingdom of God happens wherever. And wherever we are, whenever we are, we get to carry out what God's doing in the world. We get to be instruments of God's mission. Whether we're at worship or in Bible class or working on an assembly line or preparing a lesson to teach students or sweeping a floor, whatever we are doing, we can be God's missionaries carrying out God's mission in this world, doing what Christ is doing. So all of our jobs are important. Our jobs connected with this specific congregation, but also our jobs Monday through Saturday, whatever it is. If you're an engineer or a professor or a mechanic, a glass blower. Do we have any glass blowers? No. Whatever it is you do, that is important work. And that's a way that you participate in God's kingdom. But what if you don't like your job? So let's say you have a job where you have to do stuff that you really don't like. And it's not, every job has a little bit of that. But this job that I'm talking about has a ton of it. And so every day you go to work, you don't want to be there. You're just waiting until you get out of work. You're waiting for the weekend. You're waiting for retirement. And you spend your whole life like that. And you hate your job. Have you been there? I haven't loved all of the jobs that I've had. So I feel you. What do you do when you have a job that just isn't for you and you don't feel passionate about it, you don't feel like you're good at it, you don't feel like the world needs it, and you have no idea why you're getting paid for it? But you keep on doing it because you are getting paid for it. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul has been talking about marital relationships between husbands and wives, specifically when one's a Christian and one is not a Christian. And his advice is basically to stay in whatever situation you were in whenever you became a follower of Jesus. But now he broadens that, and he applies that advice to everyone and to different kinds of situations. Nevertheless, each of you should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you, just as God has called you. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each of you should remain in the situation you were in when God called you. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. For those who were slaves when called to faith in the Lord are the Lord's freed people. Similarly, those who were free when called are Christ's slaves. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, all of you, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation in which God called you. So, whatever situation we are in, that's where God wants to use us. Even if it's not glorious, even if it's not something we're passionate about. Let's say that I want to be preaching, and instead I'm selling books for minimum wage and not even getting full-time hours. I lack books, but the whole selling books process is just boring to me, and I don't see why I have to be doing this. And I find myself asking God, well, how long? How long do I have to be doing this? And the whole time, God's wanting to use me in that situation. Even if the job is not ideal, God wants to use us. And when we talk about work and job, of course, we're talking about more than just an official employment that gets you a paycheck. There are different kinds of work. But what if your work is something that is not ideal? It's not enjoyable. It's demeaning. It pays you dirt, or maybe doesn't even pay you at all, but takes more than full-time hours. What if your job is not your ideal? What's the job in verse 21? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21, if you are a slave. Do we have any slaves here? I mean, actual real slaves. I'm not asking if you feel like a slave sometime. I don't think we have any actual slaves. We can be grateful for that. Yes? Now, if the slaves can serve God, can glorify God and bless people through their work as slaves, can't I glorify God and bless people in whatever job I have? Even if it's not ideal? Even if I'm tempted to despise it sometimes? Even if I don't know why I'm doing it? This gives me a reason to do it. I do it to glorify God and to bless people. I do it to be an agent of God's mission in this world. That's why I go to work. No matter what job I have, I don't go to work to get a paycheck. And no matter how much I want to provide for my family, I don't go to work to finance my family. Well, in a sense, I do, but it's not my primary reason. My primary reason for going to work is to glorify God and bless people as an agent of God's mission in this world. To participate in what God is doing, even in ways that might seem mundane and unimportant. Brother Lawrence was a monk in France back in the 1600s. He was in the military, and whenever he got out, he felt like he needed to kind of compensate for some of his previous life. So he went to this monastery. He didn't have any specialized training. He was no priest or anything, except in the fact that we're all called to be priests. But, fairly normal guy. Just got out of the military, kind of colorful background. And he ends up at this monastery, and they say, okay, you get to work in the kitchen. So he gets to work in the kitchen. But he's not just working in the kitchen. You see, working in the kitchen becomes his ministry. And whenever he's scrubbing pots and pans, whenever he's baking things, he's doing more than that. And he does this little experiment that lasts quite a while. His experiment is to try to be consciously aware of God's presence every moment. And whenever his attention fades away from God's presence, he returns. He turns the eyes of his heart back to God. And he wants to be constantly aware of God's presence, constantly in prayer. And his kitchen work becomes his prayer. To the point that other people start coming to Lawrence to learn about how to pray and how to commune with God. And his approach is, my work in the kitchen is a way for me to commune with God. And what would it look like in your life if your work became your spirituality? So instead of taking away from your spiritual growth, your work is a way in which God is growing you and an opportunity for God to even grow others. I'm a former campus minister, and one of my former students works for Walmart. He's a very gifted person, but he never did well in college. Didn't finish his degree. He works at Walmart, and he's not the manager. He's not the security guard. He's not the deli person. He's the person who comes along and cleans up things whenever you drop and knock things off the shelf. And he talks about that as his ministry. Whenever there's some kind of mess and he's called in to clean it up, he wants to glorify God and he wants to be a blessing to people around him. He wants to participate in the big picture of what God is doing in this world by the little details of his job. Cleaning up spilled pickles. And I love it whenever I see him comment about that on Facebook, and he says something about how God worked through him that day. And how many people are there who would feel so down and depressed if their job was cleaning up spills at Walmart? But he's glad to have that job because he gets to minister in that job in ways that he wouldn't get to otherwise. What are the ways that God can use you in your job, whatever it is, whether you get paid for it or not? What would it be like? What are the ways that God can use you in that job that he wouldn't be able to use you in some other situation? No matter how glorious or mundane our work, it's a way for us to participate in God's mission. It's a way for us to glorify God. It's a way for us to bless the people around us. It's a way for us to proclaim the gospel of Christ through words, through actions, through presence, just being there as a person of God. It's a way for us to live in the Spirit. And God empowers us through the Spirit in that situation that we might call secular. See, I'm coming more and more to believe that in the way of Christ, there is no separation between spiritual and secular. If the mission of God, the kingdom of God, touches every part of our lives, then there is no secular. So what if your main job isn't on staff with the church? When you go to your job, you are the church. Let's pray. Oh God, we are your church, and we want to live up to that calling. Thank you for using us despite our imperfections. God, we know that we're not perfect, and that you work through us anyway. And God, sometimes you give us situations in our lives that just really thrill us. And sometimes there are situations that drain us. And through it all, God, we pray for your Spirit to move powerfully through us, even when we don't recognize that movement. We pray that how we act at work, at home, at school, will show Jesus We pray that how we interact with people at our jobs, in our classrooms, in our families, will declare your praise. Through it all, Lord, may we glorify you. May we bless people. May we participate in your mission in this world as the hands and feet of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.